Let's bow for prayer. Let us gaze on the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fairest of all, fairest of all in heaven and earth. We honor and praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, eternal Word of God, light of the world, bread of life. We ask today that by your Holy Spirit you would help us to know more about the Lord Jesus and to live our lives in following him and surrendering to him and seeking to tell the world about him. During this Christmas time, Lord, we pray for people who walk in darkness, that they might see a great light, they might see Jesus and be saved. We pray, Lord, that you would help all of us who are light bearers, that we would tell the good news in a world of bad news, troubles, and despair. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us today, we're honored to have you. Merry Christmas. And we pray that your Christmas time will be wonderful. If you have your Bible, I hope you do. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, and then also John's Gospel, John chapter 1. You'll need both of them in just a moment here as we continue to think these days about what the Bible calls the great mystery of godliness. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great mystery of godliness. Even though many of us think that we know a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ, I remind you today that there are depths and realities and truths about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is that we'll study forever, even here and on and in heaven, as we do on the earth in the days to come. So today we make our focus about Jesus Christ. That is what we focus on all the time, and I'm glad we can do it, especially at this Christmas season. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is talking to a young preacher and giving him in 1 Timothy some instructions as to what to do in building up the churches and setting things in order as they were planting churches. And here he writes to Timothy and says, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, "I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. And in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth." Now we read, "By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." Here are these six statements that describe the great mystery of godliness, Jesus Christ. The secrets about Jesus Christ that have now been revealed through his coming and his life. So today we focus on he was revealed in the flesh. Our focal truth is that Jesus Christ is revealed in the flesh, and that is the great mystery of godliness. We'll never quite come to understand or appreciate all that it means for Jesus to have been born in a manger, to grow up fully God and fully man, to die on the cross for our sins. Something happened when Jesus died, like no other death of any other person. How he rose from the dead and is today alive, ascended to heaven. We praise him and glorify him as our living Lord and Savior, our great high priest. But in order for us to understand the depths, I believe, of this statement, which most likely was an early song of the church, with these six verses, how it was sung, the meter and melody, we don't know, but here we see the first line of this song, ancient song. God's people have been saying these words for thousands of years. So now here we come, end of 2024, and we say them again as God's people settled in this place by common confession. Great is the great mystery of godliness. We say it with worship. We say it with adoration. We say it with praise. We say it with humility and reverence. Great is the mystery of godliness, he who was revealed in the flesh. And to know that, we go to one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, John chapter 1. Now, if you'll go to John chapter 1, we listen to what John the Apostle, one of the eyewitnesses and first followers of Jesus, in fact, one of our spiritual fathers, we learn about Jesus through John the Apostle and the other apostles. And we praise God for their ministries and their faithfulness in their times. And these words that John wrote, we now listen to them together. So before we look at some things together, let's hear what John says about the great mystery of godliness being revealed in the flesh. Now read it carefully with me. Let's listen to John as he tells us. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For of his fullness we've received grace for grace, and for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Four observations for us today in our brief time of thinking about these things together. Number one, Jesus Christ was revealed in flesh. He is the light of the world, as John tells us. We'll talk about that. Notice in your Bible, it's verses 4 and 9. In him, that is in who? In the eternal Word of God. Jesus is the eternal Word of God. There's a mystery here. He is God, eternally the Word of God. Never was he born, never did he not exist. He is the eternal Word of God. He that is in him, in the Word of God, the eternal, only begotten Son of God, the Word of God, was life. And the life that was in him was the light of men. Verse 9. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Jesus Christ was revealed in the flesh, the light of the world. Number two, Jesus Christ was revealed in the flesh. The world did not recognize him. Verse number 11 or verse 10. He was in the world. That's what we're doing this time of the year. We celebrate Jesus Christ is born into the world, became a man. He became a human being, humbled himself. Eternal God becoming a man. The miracle of Christmas there in the manger. He was in the world and the world was made through him. The one in the cradle, the one in the manger is the creator of all things. And yet he's a baby in the world he's made. And the world did not know him. The world that he made and all those who live in the world, while he was in the world, they did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own, that is to his own nation, to his own Jewish people. And those who were his own did not receive him. So Jesus Christ is the one who has come in the world, and for the vast majority of people in the world today, they're not pausing like we are today and in these times to celebrate one who's born into the world. They've rejected Jesus so far. Thirdly, Jesus Christ was revealed in flesh, and he's filled with grace and truth. We jump on down to these wonderful words in verse 14. They're well known. And the Word became flesh. Here it is, this eternal Word. In the beginning, this one who was the Word, he was with God, was God, now becomes flesh and dwells among us. That is, he lives on the earth. And now John says something, John the Apostle. We saw his glory. We saw Jesus. We embraced Jesus. We touched Jesus. He was real. We touched the scars in his hands after he rose from the dead, and his side where the thorn had, where the spear had pierced his side. We saw his glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father. John saw him transfigured as one of the few saw him. He was transfigured. His flesh turned amazingly white. And so he was seen as God-man, and there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." We saw his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Notice, full of grace and truth. We read on. John says himself, "For of his fullness," verse 16, "we have all received grace upon grace." And then we see that Jesus Christ was revealed in flesh, explaining who God is. Verse number 18. No one has seen God at any time. Up until this time, when God spoke to Israel and Moses, he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. No man sees God and lives. No man sees the majesty and glory of the majestic, magnificent, sovereign, almighty God and lives. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, that is Jesus Christ. He has explained the Almighty God. If you want to know who God is, you listen to what Jesus says about the unseen Almighty God. Now let's go back for a moment and think about these words. Jesus Christ was revealed in the flesh, the light of the world. Everything this time of the year is about light. You go see the lights. Someone said the other day, well, we're going to see the lights. Going to see displays of lights all around. We have them here in Dixon. We have them all around us. Beautiful light shows. This is a time where there's light. But we come back now to John 1, verse 4. In the Word of God, in the eternal Word of God. You see, when God wanted to speak, when God, the unseen God, wanted to speak, the only true living God, when he wanted to speak, he spoke through Jesus Christ, who was born into this world. This one is called the Word of God. And this Word of God had all life in him. He made all things. He is the giver of all things in life. But he also, notice as it reads, it's important to read it, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Many of you who sit in this room today recognize and know what it is to have the light of God in your life. You now have life because of light. Your minds have been changed. Just like when we read in Genesis of the creation of all things, it was dark, and then God said, "Let there be light." we read something about this and we think about it today, I want you to consider in all the discussions about lights and seeing lights, I want to remind you that the vast majority of people today have dark minds. They have darkened minds. And I'd like for you to look in your Bible with me for a moment at this explanation in the book of Ephesians. We won't be long, but in Ephesians chapter 5, I have two things I want you to read with me in the book of Ephesians about the darkness of man's mind. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then we read later in verse number 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overpower it. And then we recognize that there's one who's come into the world and he enlightens every man. What are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that when Jesus Christ is experienced in the life of a person, their dark mind experiences the power of God's light. They see things they've not seen before. And we read it here. Paul describes what it means for a person to be dark in their minds, and that's what sin does. You see, when the Lord Jesus comes, he gives what? Life to dead people, spiritually dead. When Jesus comes and he gives life to dead people, he also gives life to their minds. There are a lot of people living and walking around with dark, dark minds. We read here, Ephesians 4, Paul's talking about how we're to live as Christians in this room. He says, verse 17, Ephesians 4, 17, so I say to you and affirm together with the Lord, walk no longer as Gentiles, that is, lost people walk. Don't live like Gentiles, like lost people live. Notice how they live in the futility of their minds, always making plans, but never anything satisfies. Always achieving more, but never satisfied. Always looking, chasing the wind, as we learn in the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything is futile. Everything they do, everything they put their hands to, every goal they have, every ambition, at the end seems empty and meaningless. They've got to do something else and more. That wasn't enough. I have to do something else. In their minds, they're never satisfied. There is no contentment in their lives. They walk in futility of mind. You may have some of your relatives at your table during this holiday who are not believers. They live in the futility of their mind. They are darkened in their understanding, verse 18. Their understanding, they can't understand why we would worship God, follow Jesus, someone we've never met personally, we've never seen him with our eyes, and yet we're committed to dying for this man, surrendering our lives, following him and doing whatever he wants. Their minds are darkened. They don't understand. They read the Bible, but it's like a puzzle. It's strange words that all go together. Nothing makes any sense. They walk in the futility of their mind, and they're darkened in their understanding, and they're excluded, verse 18, from the life of God. Why? Because they are ignorant of who God is. They're in the dark. They don't have the knowledge of God. They have not seen, they've not experienced the light of God that comes through knowing Jesus Christ, and they are hard in their hearts. Verse 19, they become callous. They give themselves over to sensuality. That's the story of the world. They give themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. In chapter 5, he goes on and says, notice this with me for just a moment. Excuse me, chapter 4, as we've read in 17 and 18, but over in chapter 5, right, chapter 5, verse 12, we read these words beginning in verse 7. Don't be partakers with those who are not Christians, for you were formerly darkness. I remind everybody here, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He puts light into your mind. He enlightens you. You see what you never saw before. Things make sense like they never did before. These mysteries that the church talks about now become real to you, and all of a sudden you have a relationship with God that's real. Your mind is enlightened. The darkness is replaced with light, and Paul says, don't live like you used to live. You lived in the darkness. I could go on and describe for some of you in some detail darkness, and you lived in the darkness. You loved your favorite sin. You hid away. You didn't want anybody to know, but you loved your favorite sin. You did it in the dark. You did it in the dark. What do children do when they know that they're doing something that they've been told by their parents not to do? They go hide and do it. That's what we do in our sinfulness. You were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Read verse number 13. All things become visible when they're exposed by light. You see, here's what you have to do if you're not a Christian. You got to bring your dark life and put it in the light before Jesus. And here's how you do it. You confess your sin. Here's what I am. Here's what I've done. Here's the way I am. Here's what I love to do. Here I am. And every person in this room who's a believer, at some point in your life, you put your dark life in the light. You came to Jesus Christ. The light is shining, and the darkness can't overwhelm it. The darkness can't stand. Read on now in Ephesians chapter 5. All things become visible when they're exposed to the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. And then what do we hear Paul saying? Awake, sleeper. Some of you in this room, you were asleep. You were asleep and you were dead in your sins, and somebody shared the gospel with you. You read your Bible, or your mom and dad shared it with you. You came to church, you heard the preacher talk about it. You heard the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. You heard the gospel, and all of a sudden you woke up. You woke up out of your sin and your lethargy and your sleepiness. Your sin puts you to sleep. Sin keeps you in the dark. But you awoke. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. That's what you did. And Christ will shine on you. You see, Jesus Christ was revealed, and He still is to this day, the light of the world. How do people know about the light? You Christians, you're the light of the world. How about this? You don't need to take them to a light show. Let them see the light inside of you. Let them see the way you live. Let them see the way you act. Let them see the way you talk. Let them see the light of God in you. Jesus Christ was revealed, and the world did not recognize Him. I believe those are some of the saddest words. I'm back in John now. I believe those are some of the saddest words I read in the Word of God. He, in verse 10, He was in the world. The world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. You say, well, if He was God, He could have made the world know Him. What kind of a God would that be? To make people robots? No, He made the world, and then the world. Why? It started when He was born. Herod says, well, let me come worship Him. He says to the wise men. All he wanted to do was come kill Him. From the day He has to flee with his family to Egypt and live there until Herod's dead. He was in the world. The world was made through Him, but the world did not know Him. Look, don't get carried away in your minds today. I'm trying to be a realist with you. The vast majority of people on this planet don't know Jesus Christ and don't care about Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, many have never heard His name. Our men who trek in East, in Asia, Southern Asia, they went and spoke to people who did not know the name of Jesus. And I tell you this, I've spoken with people who live right here in Dixon County who don't know anything about Jesus. They're everywhere. He came into the world, and the world was made through Him. It's Christmas time. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own Jewish people rejected Him. If you're still with your Bible open in John chapter 3, just turn over to John chapter 1. Turn to John chapter 3 for a moment and listen to these words about the Lord Jesus being rejected by the world and still rejected to this day. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the judgment. John chapter 3, verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the judgment that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. You see, you start talking to somebody, say, well, you know, I don't do what I used to do. You used to run with your lost friends. Now they say that you act like you're better than them. Now they accuse you. Now they attack you and say, well, you know, you're just trying to be goody-goody. You're just trying to act better than us. You used to do what we do, but you don't anymore. You see, the judgment is that light's come into the world. Some of us have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and our minds are filled with light now. We know the difference between sin and ungodliness and righteousness and godliness. And notice, though, men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. Hey, they don't want to change. They like being a thief. They like being an adulterer. They like pornography. They like their drug addiction. They love their alcoholism. They love their greediness and covetousness and all their stuff. Men love the darkness rather than the light. Their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for the fear that his deeds will be exposed. Look, one way or another, every person's deeds will be exposed. There will be a day where there's a judgment, a great judgment that will come, and all the books will be opened that have recorded all of the lives of people who've lived, and their lives will be exposed. They'll be exposed as liars and frauds, rebellious against God, unwilling to bow the knee and say, Jesus is Lord. But he who practices the truth, that's what the church is now. This is the church. He who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought by God. The saddest verses in the Bible are followed by one of the most wonderful gospel promises in all the Bible in John chapter 1. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But here it is. Gospel news, good news. It's true of many of us in this room. But as many as received him, the light of the world, the word of God, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Jesus Christ was revealed, filled with grace and truth. Look quickly, and I'm about to be finished. Verse 14, the word became flesh, John 1:14. Dwelt among us, we saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten, only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's only been one person who's ever been born who's been grace-filled all of his life and truth-filled all of his life. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, if you're a believer here. You see, grace saves us. The day you bowed your knee and bowed your head in your heart and submitted, brought your life into the light and you were saved, that's the day you realized what grace is. You know what grace is? It's favor. It's God's favor when we don't deserve it. For by grace are you saved, but guess what? Every day since then, you've experienced the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. He was grace-filled. He still is to this day. You cannot exhaust the riches of God's grace in Jesus Christ. His favor will be forever. You believers in here, some of you said, well, I've stepped back and I've fallen into sin. I've stumbled again into sin. That's good. That's why there's a thing called the grace of God. The grace of God in Jesus Christ. You confess it. You bring that miserable, you bring it back before God and you say, this is the way I've stumbled. This is how I've gotten away from you. I'm not warm-hearted like I used to be. I don't love Jesus like I used to. I don't have time for my Bible. I'm busy with other things. I'm going back to futility in my mind. But you see, if you come to the Lord and you confess your sin, you experience grace. And what do we read here in verse 16? Of his fullness, this grace-filled one gives us grace upon grace upon grace. The picture is like bricks being laid one upon top of another. Grace upon grace upon grace. When I was saved, I was 9 years old, grace of God. I'm now way on up here. Oh my legs hurt. My joints are sore. I'm almost 70 years old. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. For by grace are you saved, and every day of your life, never think that you ever deserve what God has given and blessed you with in your life. You have the light of God in your mind, and now you have been accepted as a child of God, and you live on the grace of God, which reminds us of this. And all of your life, you get to think about the truth of God because Jesus told us the truth about God. We always want to know God. We always want to find God. In our hearts, even when we're in our darkness, there is this deep yearning in the hearts and lives of every person that there's something that's missing in their life. But you see, if you open your Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, your Gospels, you have red letter words. Many of your Bibles put them in red letters, the words of Jesus. You're reading the very words of Jesus to tell you how God is, what God expects, and how we come to follow and live like Him. We have also in the words of Jesus, His commands for all of us who are His followers. If you say you're a follower of Jesus, you know what I'd be busy about doing? I'd be busy about reading my Bible to make sure I know what Jesus wants me to do as His follower. You see, the Lord Jesus, great is the mystery of godliness, He explains who God is. He said one time to His disciples, "The words I say, I don't speak on my own. But God speaks these words through me." Listen to Him. When the Lord was revealed in His glory on what's called the Transfiguration Mountain, the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to Him." Okay, church. I say to you again at Christmas time, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus every day of your life. Listen to Jesus when it's easy and listen to Jesus when it's hard. Listen to Jesus. Don't be distracted by others. Don't be distracted by your favorite preachers. Don't be distracted by your favorite friends and what they have to say. Listen to Jesus. Keep your eyes set on Jesus. So what do we remember today? Well, come to Jesus, the light of the world. This is what we leave this place saying. Put on your own light show. That's what you can do. Put on your own light show. Go out of this place and for the rest of your life, put on a light show. Let your light shine. Let people see. You're not doing it to be proud. You're not doing it to be arrogant. You're just living out the light. The light of God will come through you because you have come to know Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It comes through you. You're now a child of the light. You don't live in the dark in those secret, sneaky places doing ungodly and wicked things. You live in the full light. You live there day and night. You live there when you wake up, when you go to bed. You're a child of the light and walk in the light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Walk with the Lord Jesus. Enjoy the light. You know, it's terrible. We have at our house a preschooler. The most painful thing I've discovered is in the dark stepping on Legos. It's the most painful thing in life. When you walk in the dark, you'll surely stumble. You'll surely fall. You're going to lose direction. You're not going to have orientation. But when you walk in the light, when your mind is filled with the light of the truth of God, and you're living in the light, and you're walking with others who are in the light, oh, the fellowship and the joy and the grace of God that keeps us strong. And what we do as we leave today is we listen to Jesus. The Lord said one time to His disciples, in fact, it was after He washed their feet. He said, "I've done this to give you an example, that is, serve each other, be humble." And He said, "If you do these things, you'll be blessed." So I can't tell you. If you listen to Jesus and you do it, you'll experience the greatest blessings of life. So what do we read today? Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. This is what the church says and has said for generations and millennia. Great is the mystery of godliness, He who was revealed in the flesh. To the praise of the glory of His grace, and the Lord is near to the door. Oh, the Lord is soon to come. Do you know the signs of the times? Do you see the evident signs of the Lord's soon, quick coming, the judge, as the Lord said for us to look up? When we see these things, the judge is near the door. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus.